الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين اللهم لك الحمد وإليك المشتكى وبك الثقة وعليك التكلان ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري وحل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا وأن تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه واستنى بسنته ودعا بدعوته إلى يوم الدين. إن شاء الله تعالى, this is our regular tafsir lesson, and we are going through the surah, Surah Al-Baqarah, continuing on where we left off. We were coming towards the end of the portions in Surah Al-Baqarah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the Yahud. This has been going on for many weeks now, and I think tonight's lesson and the lesson after that, we're going to conclude that. Where we left off last week, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that the Yahud made a claim against the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saying that if the law of Allah should be followed, we had the Torah. So why would you tell us to follow the Quran? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about the concept of abrogation. ما ننسخ من آية أو ننسيها نأتي بخير منها أو مثلها ألم تعلم أن الله على كل شيء قدير. Allah mentioning that every ayah that we remove or lift or do naskh of, we replace it with one that is equal or better. And the whole concept of abrogation, and that the previous scriptures were abrogated by the Quran, and even within the Quran you will find verses that have been abrogated and others have been replaced with. And that this concept is jaiz aqlan wa waqa'at shar'an, right? So it's jaiz aqlan, logically it's sound. And we gave an analogy of a doctor asking someone for medicine, or a doctor, someone coming to a doctor and a doctor prescribing 5 days, take this medicine and then come back and later the doctor changes it, it would be a perfectly normal thing. And Allah prescribing a certain act of worship and then removing that and replacing it with another one is also perfectly sound and based on Allah's wisdom. Then we spoke about what was the main driving force or the main reason why the Yahud showed so much animosity towards the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah mentions wadda kathirun min ahli kitabi law yurdukum min ba'di imanikum kufaran hasadan min 'indi anfusihim, that the reason why the Yahud had so much anger and animosity and were rejecting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, hoping that others reject him as well, was based on envy. And we expanded upon the concept of envy in Islam and how it's a very dangerous thing. And then towards the end of that ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to the believers and tells them, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, fa'afu wasfahu. Okay, so the Yahud are showing a lot of animosity. They are conniving and they are plotting and they are planning and they are all doing all of this. What was the instruction given to the companions, the Ansar and the Muhajireen and the Prophet ﷺ? Allah said, fa'afu wasfahu, forgive and overlook. All of these statements that they are saying, we mentioned last week, few weeks before, they were saying to the Prophet ﷺ, ra'ina, basically insulting the Prophet ﷺ, and Allah said, la taqul ra'ina wa qul unzurna, right? And these little sly comments against the Prophet, and these little things, and all of the stuff that we mentioned earlier, that now they are being told, fa'fu, forgive, wasfahu, and overlook. Hatta ya'ti Allahu bi'amri. How long are you going to forgive and overlook? Until Allah delivers His command. And until Allah delivers His command. And as things escalated in Medina, certain commands were then given to the Prophet and the companion, such as expelling some of them, etc., etc. But at first they were told, فَعْفُ وَصْفَحُ حَتَّى يَتِي اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلُّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Allah is capable of doing everything, right? Then, okay, so now that you're told, okay, there's all this plotting and planning and conniving and all of this stuff happening, this insulting of the Prophet ﷺ, this hasid, this envy, what are you supposed to do? Forgive and overlook. Okay, so what am I supposed to do instead? Allah then gives beautiful instructions to the believers, right? And that is, فَأَقِيمُ صَلَاةَ وَآتُ زَكَاةَ. Establish the prayer and give charity. And this teaches you something. If you can't correct a problem, do what you can, right? Instead of worrying about what you can't, focus on what you can, right? And this is a very important principle that we have in our religion, which is that you base your actions on your istita'ah, right? We can't change the world. But, for example, let's say a problem keeps you up at night, right? There is so much war happening, poverty, right? The global warming, right? There, for example, right? Some people are complaining about the waste, right? There are so many issues. But what you can do is limited. Often, you don't do what you can, and you worry about what you can't do anything about. You don't do what you can, and you worry about things that you can't change. Right? The ummah is misguided. Have you done anything from within your circle of what you can do, within your range, right? Within your range. And have you tried to rectify yourself? Because islah moves outwards. It starts inwards and it moves outwards, right? Islah and rectification and reform, it starts here and it moves outwards. And this is why it's ajeeb. In the Quran, you will find, قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى عَلَيْكُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ. Upon you is yourself. Upon you is yourself. That means what? Each one of you, you're responsible of yourself. Allah says in the Quran, وَكُلُّهُمْ آتِيهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَرْدًا. Right? It's just you and Allah. Allah will judge you. So focus on yourself. And then what? Allah says also, يَا يَهْلَ الدِّينَ آمَنُوا قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. Right? Save yourself and your family from hellfire. Right? So your family has a priority over you. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ. Right? Now, warn your close relatives. So you're moving outwards, your relatives, right? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what did he say to our Prophet? لِتُنذِرَ أُمَّ الْقُرَى وَمَنْ حَوْلَهَا. Right? So that you can warn and spread the message to Ummul Qura, right? The mother of cities. You guys know which city that is? Ummul Qura is Mecca. There's a famous university called Ummul Qura, right? وَمَنْ حَوْلَهَا. And finally, the Prophet also, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Yes, eventually we want to get everywhere. We want to go to the alam, but it moves outward. The khayr moves out. Start with yourself and do what you can, right? So your family, your sisters, your brothers, your neighbors, right? This is what you need to focus on. And also what you can, what you can. يقول الله عز وجل, okay, you can't deal with the Yahud and their issues right now. What should you do? فَأَقِيمُوا صَلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ. Right? فَعَفُوا وَصْفَحُوا. Forgive and overlook. And also what? فَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ. Establish the prayer and give zakat. وَمَا تُقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُم مِّنْ خَيْرٍ. And whatever good that you put forward for yourselves, تَجِدُوهُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. You will find it with Allah. So pray and give charity and do good. Whatever good that you do, you will find it with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with that which you are doing, the good and the bad, is basir, one that can see. Basir, one that is all seeing. So Allah sees the good that you're doing. Allah sees the hard work that you're putting in. Even if you don't change the world, Allah sees the good that you're doing. Even if you don't get to your goal, Allah sees. It's about the journey, ikhwani fillah. So, and one of the best things to do, فَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ. One of the things that you will notice in the Quran, ikhwani fillah, is that there is no ibadah mentioned more together than the salah and the zakat. فَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ. One of the main reasons, ikhwani fillah, is that these are the main two ibadat, right? The salah is the first pillar after the shahada, and the zakat is the second pillar after the shahadatain. But one other thing that you will see is that the salah is, as you all know, the word silah. It means to connect something, right? Right. This is why we are told to do silatul rahim, to stay connected to our relatives. It's one of the obligations upon us, right? Call your sisters and your brothers, especially your uncles, your aunts, maternal and paternal. Keep in touch with your extended family. This is a great act of worship. Silah, connect. Salah comes from that because you are connecting yourself with who? With Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. You need a salah. You need to feel that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the salah embodies your connection with your creator, right? Fulfilling the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, receiving blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This beautiful connection of ibadah that you give to Allah, i'ana that Allah gives you. You worship Allah, Allah helps you. You make dua to Allah, Allah gives to you, right? This silah, it's embodied within the salah. The zakat embodies your relationship with Allah's creation. The zakat embodies your relationship with Allah's creation. Because the zakat is all about helping others, uplifting others out of poverty. And this is why every time فَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ, it is rectify your relationship with Allah, rectify relationship with the people, right? You are supposed to be in the position of helping others, right? Of course, it's specifically talking about the prayer, and it's specifically talking about the actual zakat and the almsgiving. But you can understand from that and appreciate from that the importance of what kind of relationship should you have with others? One of helping, one of spreading the khair, one of uplifting others from poverty and from difficult circumstances. What is the environment of relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? One of connection. Don't forget about Allah. Don't forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember Allah, right? Make dhikr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the purpose of salah? What did Allah say to Musa? وَأَقِيمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِمَاذَا؟ لِذِكْرِ. Establish the prayer for my remembrance. The purpose is for you to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the people that understand the beauty of that connection, they will love the salah. Hence why the Prophet ﷺ said, the prayer is the coolness of my eyes. May Allah make us among those. فَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَمَا تُقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُمْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ. Whatever good you put forward for yourselves, so all the good that you do is for yourself, by the way. تَجِدُوهُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ, you will find with Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never decrease a good that you've done. Any good that you do, Allah will never decrease it. Allah might wipe away your sins. Allah might decrease your sins. Allah might forgive you for your sins. But your goodies always stay the same. But Allah does what? He multiplies them. He increases them. He grows them for you. And this shows you the embodiment of Allah's rahmah, His mercy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower us with His mercy. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Inna Allaha bima ta'amaluna basir. Indeed Allah is over. Allah is seeing all that you are doing, good and bad, in your hearts as well. In fact, your innermost secrets. In your innermost secrets. يَعْلَمُ سِرَّ وَأَخْفَى. طيب. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to us about the Yahud and the Nasara, and a statement that they made. وَقَالُوا, and they said. Who said? The Yahud and the Nasara. لَنْ يَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةِ, no one will enter paradise. إِلَّا مَنْ كَانَ هُودًا أَوْ نَصَارًا, except one is from the Yahud or from the Nasara. A lot of people might assume that this means that the Yahud and the Nasara are happy with each other. And that is not the case. And just because they are mentioned together often in the Quran doesn't mean, or they are called the people of the book, doesn't mean that they are happy with each other. For the Yahud don't like the Nasara, and the Nasara don't like the Yahud, and they are of different faiths and different traditions, and they are very different as well. And they don't recognize each other as well. But each one separately said, وَقَالُوا, they said, لَنْ يَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةِ, none will ever enter paradise. إِلَّا مَنْ كَانَ هُودًا, unless you are from the Yahud, أو نصارى, or from the Nasara. What is the, well, how is this? So, وَقَالَتِ النَّصَارَى لَنْ يَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةِ إِلَّا مَنْ كَانَ نَصَارَى وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودِ لَنْ يَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةِ إِلَّا مَنْ كَانَ هُودًا. So the Nasara said, only you will enter Jannah, and the Yahud said, only we will enter Jannah. They say this today as well, right? So the Christians, they believe salvation is only through their faith. The Jews, they believe the salvation is only through their faith, right? And we spoke about this in one of our previous lessons about the concept of that you have religious exclusivism. Religious exclusivism, that every faith believes that their faith is the haqq. And this is present in many faiths. You do find some that try to combine it, but the haqq is one. لا يتعدد. And this is قاعدة إخواني خذوها. الحق واحد لا يتعدد. The truth is one, it's not many. The truth is one, it's not many. And the wording of the Quran is beautiful. When Allah speaks about the revelation, Allah says, لِيُخْرِجَكُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ, so that Allah can take you out from many darknesses to one light. Literally, Allah, when He's talking about the darkness, He does jama' ظلمات إلى النور, to the one light. لذلك إخواني في الله طريق إلى الله واحد. And the Prophet said, in fact, Allah says, وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلُ. Indeed, Allah says, وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي, this is my path, مُسْتَقِيمًا, straight, فَاتَّبِعُوهُ, follow it, وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا, do not follow السُّبُلُ, the many other smaller paths. Right? May Allah keep us on the صراط المستقيم forever, إخواني في الله. طيب, so they said, لَنْ يَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةِ إِلَّا مَنْ كَانَ هُودًا أَوْ نَصَارَى. How does Allah answer them? Allah says, تِلْكَ أَمَانِيُّهُمْ, these are their wishes. These are their desires. And this is not the first time we come across this word, تِلْكَ أَمَانِيُّهُمْ. In previous verses, we heard that the Yahud, they said, لَنْ نَدْخُلَ النَّارِ إِلَّا أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودَاتٍ, right? That we will not enter the fire except for a few days. And Allah said, تِلْكَ أَمَانِيُّهُمْ. They said that they will not be, they will be the only people that will go to Jannah, and they will only be punished for a few days. I've mentioned why they claim that they will be punished for only a few days. What few days are they referring to? Who can tell me? What are the few days that they believed they will be punished for? What did you say? Did someone mention the worshipping of the calf? Yes, that's correct, right? So when Musa went to receive the Torah, and some of them, they worshipped the calf, and this incident, they believe they must atone for it, and they said, like, illa ayyam, except for these few days, but we are Ahl Jannah, except for these ayyam and ma'adudat, these days that can be counted. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, attakhattum inda Allahi ahdan. Did you have a covenant with Allah, a promise of Allah that you will go to Jannah and you will only be punished for this? If that's the case, فَلَنْ يُخْرِفَ اللَّهُ عَادَهُ. Allah will not break his promise. أَنْتَ قُولُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Or are you saying statements that you don't have any knowledge of? Then Allah taught us how to go to Jannah and how to go to hellfire. And Allah mentions that who goes to Jannah? Well, first of all, Allah said, مَنْ كَسَبَ سَيِّئَةً وَأَحَاطَتْ بِهِ خَطِيئَةُ. First of all, you don't go to Jannah, you don't gain paradise through who you are, meaning where you are from, because you're a Yahudi and you're from the Banu Israel, or this or that, no, or that you are from the lineage of the Prophet even, right? Just because you are Ahl Bayt doesn't guarantee you a place in Jannah. It's through action and good deeds. لذلك قال الله سبحانه وتعالى. And this is very important because Allah teaches us ما هو الطريق إلى النار وما هو الطريق إلى الجنة. فيقول الله سبحانه وتعالى بلا من كسب سيئة وأحاطت به خطيئته فأولئك أصحاب النار. Who is from أهل النار؟ من كسب سيئة, whoever does a sin, right? سيئة وأحاطت به خطيئته. And that sin, it encircles you. It covers you fully from all sides. There's no way out. How can a sin do that to you if you die upon shirk? Right? كيف تحيط بك الإثم والخطيئة من مات على الشرك. So anyone that does not die upon shirk but dies upon توحيد, no matter how many sins you do, you have a way into Jannah. So that هذه هي طريقة. من كسب سيئة وحاط بها خطيئة فأولئك أصحاب النار في خلدون. And Allah also says how you enter into Jannah. And that was والذين آمنوا وعملوا صالحات فأولئك أصحاب الجنة. Those who do good deeds and do righteous actions. That's how you go to Jannah. It doesn't matter if your name is Ali or Muhammad or Tim or whatever. It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter what your background is. Ben Israel, not Ben Israel, Arab, non-Arab. Doesn't matter. Good deeds and Iman, and it takes you to Jannah. So their claim, Allah says, وَقَالُوا لَنْ يَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةِ. And they said, no one will enter Jannah إِلَّا مَنْ كَانَ هُودًا, except for the one who's Yahud. أَوْ Nasara, and the one who is Nasara. We also talked about this word, Yahud and Nasara, where it comes from. Who remembers? Where does the word Yahud come from? Right? I'm going to start naming people. Shall I start naming people? Labas. Tafadal? Tayyib. One of the opinions is that the word Yahud comes from the oldest son of Yaqub, who was called Yehuda. The oldest son of Yaqub, who was called Yehuda, because Israel is Yaqub, and that's one of the opinions. Naam. The other opinion that it came from قولهم إنا هدنا إليك, when they said after they committed the sin إنا هدنا إليك, oh we have done توبنا إليك, we have repented. So it comes from a word of the repentant, those who repented. إنا هدنا إليك أي توبنا إليك. And what about نصارى? Where does نصارى come from? Who can tell me? Have you guys heard of the place called Nazareth, right? Or Jesus of Nazareth, or Nazarene? Yes, Nazarene, Nasara. That's one of the opinions that it came from the town, right? Wallahu a'lam, right? And there is also something that came from the word Nasr, which is to help. And Prophet Isa's helpers, his Ansar, and Allah knows best. So Allah says they claim that they're going to Jannah, this is their wishes. How do we go to Jannah? Through righteous actions and good deeds, which they are not doing, of course. And then Allah says, قُلْ هَاتُوا بُرْهَانَكُمْ. So produce your proof in kuntum صَادِقِينَ, if you are truthful. This is a qa'id in our deen. You make a claim, you prove it. هَاتُوا بُرْهَانَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. طيب, if you don't go to Jannah by just claiming it, and you don't go to Jannah just because you're saying I'm a Yahudi or Nasrani, then how do you go to Jannah? بَلَا rather, on the contrary, who goes to Jannah? مَنْ أَسْلَمَا. Whoever submits. Whoever submits. وَجْهَهُ, his face, لِلَّهِ, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't submit your face, He submits all himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but this is an expression. So whoever submits themselves to Allah, Allah tells you to pray, you pray. To believe, you believe. To give zakah, you give zakah. Right? To do good, you do good. To stay from haram, you stay from haram. من أسلم وجهه لله وهو محسن. While he is a muhsin. What is a muhsin? Someone that does good while being a doer of good. If you like the word muhsin, it comes from ihsan. And there's two types of ihsan in Islam. There's two types of ihsan in Islam. Al-ihsanu ma'allah wal-ihsanu ila al-khalq. Al-ihsanu ma'allah wal-ihsan ila al-khalq. What is al-ihsanu ma'allah? What is ihsan with regards to Allah? Allah of time ihsan is translated as excellence, right? To excel. How do you excel or do ihsan with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That's mentioned in the famous hadith, hadithu Jibreel. ما هو الإحسان أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك. It is to worship Allah as if you see Allah, and then if not, at the very least as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees you, and Allah does see you. And the scholars, they call this two levels of worship, مشاهدة and مراقبة. مشاهدة and مراقبة. So the one that's worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and is doing إحسان in his worship is of two. One that is worshipping Allah with, there's one that has no muraqabah and no mushahada, by the way, right? This is the regular, the believer whose iman is not at a level where he's conscious of the fact that Allah is watching you. Then you have the one who's at a level where you're constantly conscious that Allah is watching you. It's called muraqabah. Allah among his name is Ar-Raqib, the one who's the ever watchful. When you're conscious of that, when you're praying, and you're conscious of that, when you're living your life, you will tend to sin less and your worship will have more focus, right? هذه ماذا؟ المراقبة. وهناك درجة فوق ذلك وهي المشاهدة. Right? مشاهدة is you're worshipping Allah, not as if Allah sees you, because Allah does see you, but if you see Allah, subhanAllah. Now think about this. What the level of humility, humbleness, awe that you will be at if you saw the Almighty. To be able to try and worship Allah in that sense. This is known as كأنك تراه, as if you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah give us the ability to worship Him على طريقة المراقبة والمشاهدة. هذا هو الإحسان إلى ماذا؟ إحسان مع الله سبحانه وتعالى, or إحسان as relates to your عبادة. What does إحسان إلى الخلق mean? الإحسان إلى الخلق, what does it mean? الإحسان إلى الخلق means to, number one, to help the creation in whatever you can help them with. To help the creation of Allah in whatever you can have an naf'a, right? To help them. Two, to avoid harming them. What does ihsan to the khalq mean? Help them in any way you can. Keep your harm away from them in any way you can, right? And avoid harming them. Ensure you're helping them. And also that you spread the Islam and the khair to them, right? This is ihsan ilayhim, right? And it comes in many, many ways. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إحسانا, right? وَبِذِ الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينِ. Allah gives us detailed instructions in the Quran and in the Sunnah how we're supposed to do ihsan to the khalq, right? Allah gives us detailed instructions in the Quran and the Sunnah how we're supposed to do ihsan to the khalq. From removing harmful objects from the road, right? To visiting our neighbors, to visiting the sick, right? To ensuring we give people proper burials, to making dua, to how we're supposed to be with our parents, how we're supposed to be with your siblings, the whole concept of silat al-rahim, كل هذا يدرج تحت الإحسان إلى عباد الله وإلى خلق الله سبحانه وتعالى. All the way until even to the animals and to the creatures of Allah and all of humanity, مسلمهم وكافرهم, Muslim and non-Muslim alike, all of that, your إحسان should spread everywhere, right? So إحسان is two نوعs, إحسان مع الله وإحسان مع خلقه سبحانه وتعالى. And both are required. So, whoever submits to Allah while being a muhsin, then he will have his reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there will be no fear concerning them, nor will they grieve. So, in other words, the Yahud claim they're going to Jannah, the Nasara claim they're going to Jannah, Allah is saying, these are all your idle wishes. In fact, the one that goes to Jannah is, again, Allah gives a description, not a people. This is the beauty of the Quran. Allah doesn't say the Arabs, right, or these people. Allah gives a general description that everyone can be. بلا من أسلم, whoever submits وجهه لله هو محسن, while you are محسن, this person will have his reward with Allah سبحانه وتعالى. ولا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. They will not fear nor will they grieve. They will not fear, يقول ابن كثير, they will not fear that which is coming. So those that are the people that are of ihsan, they won't fear what's coming. What's coming? Death is coming. Akhirah is coming. Meeting Allah is coming. Right? They don't fear that because they are of Ahlul Jannah. وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ, and they will not grieve what has passed. Right? They don't grieve what was passed because they accept the qadr of Allah, because they ask Allah to forgive their sins, they do tawbah. Or you could say, when they are in Jannah, they won't fear what's coming because everything that's coming is good. And they won't be aggrieved of what's past. Why? Because Allah forgave them for it. إخواني في الله. And generally speaking, anxiety and worry and restlessness and all these problems are usually about either you are sad about something that happened in the past, or you're worried about something that's going to happen in the future. And for Allah to reward you by removing those two is one of the greatest blessings. Right? When you think about it, every time you're anxious, anxiety, or worried, it's either something that happened in the past, an argument, a fight, something happened in the past and you're worried about it, or you're sad about it, or something that is about to come, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions always, فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ, فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. And Imam As-Sa'di, right? He has a beautiful risala. الْوَسَائِلُ الْمُفِيدَةِ لِلْحَيَاةِ السَّعِيدَةِ. الْوَسَائِلُ الْمُفِيدَةِ لِلْحَيَاةِ, beautiful book, right? I think it's been translated. It is beneficial steps to a happy life, right? I think I butchered the translation, but that's what it means. Beneficial steps to a happy life. But we all want a happy life. And there's a beautiful concept he mentions inside of it, related to this, the future and the past. He says, kun ibnu yomika, right? Kun ibnu yomika. Be the son, like ibn, son of the day. Meaning what? Busy yourself with your present, the now. Busy yourself with the here and the now. Don't, in other, why? He said, لأن ما فاتك لا يرجع. That which has gone by will not come. That it's gone by. You can't change what happened yesterday or this morning. It's done. So worrying about it won't change anything. So he's teaching you, don't worry too much about what's past. If it's sins, ask Allah to forgive you. Try to resolve it. But don't worry about it. It happened. It already happened. It already what? Happened. You will never go back and change it. And then he said, don't worry about the future. Why? You don't even know you're going to reach it. You're worried. Am I gonna finish my degree? Am I going to get married? Will this business, the investment, will it work? How? Look, it's in the future. You might die tomorrow. Right? Don't worry too much about, don't let the future that you may not reach busy you to the point where it causes qalaq and stress. Right? Does that mean we shouldn't plan our lives? No. It just means plan it, but don't let it overwhelm you with worry. Does that make sense? It's a beautiful advice, right? Because he said basically, focus on the here and the now. Right now, what can I do now? What can I work on now? And it's a very healthy kind of, read that book. Al-Wasail Mufid Al-Hayati Sa'id, read that book. طيب بلا من أسلم وجهه لله وهو محسن. So in this ayah you learned who goes to Jannah. Whoever submits to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and is a doer of good, a muhsin. And we mentioned two types of ihsan. He will have his reward with Allah and he will not fear or they will have no grief concerning them. طيب one more ayah and we leave it at that. وقالت اليهود ليست النصارى على شيء وقالت النصارى ليست اليهود على شيء وهم يتلون الكتاب كذلك قال الذين لا يعلمون مثل قولهم فالله يحكم بينهم يوم القيامة فيما كانوا فيه يختلفون وقالت اليهود and the Yehud said ليست النصارى على شيء. The Christians are upon nothing. Nothing true. They're not upon the truth. So the Yehud would say about the Christians, you and your religions are false. This is why they denied Isa and they said horrible things about Mary or Maryam. Right? They don't believe in the saintness of Maryam, the fact that she's a saint, a wali of Allah, nor did they believe that Isa was a prophet. So they said to the Christians, you're not upon anything. And what did the Christians say to them? وقالت النصارى ليست اليهود على شيء. This, there is a سبب نزول for that, that the علماء mention or the scholars of tafsir mention that this happened when the Nasara of Najran, the Christians of Najran, they came to visit the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and that they in Medina, and there was an argument between them and the Yahud, and they literally said this to each other. So Allah is quoting something that they said to each other. There, ليست النصارى على شيء وقالت النصارى ليست اليهود على شيء. So they both are denying the validity of each other's faith. The Nasara are saying your faith is invalid because you didn't believe in Isa, and then the Yahud are saying your faith is invalid because of the belief you have about Isa, right? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَهُمْ يَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابِ, while they both recite the kitab. And why is this significant? Because if they would actually read the kitab and believe in the kitab, they would understand the validity of the Torah and Musa and the prophecy of Isa both, right? So كأن الإسلام جاء حكم. So the religion of Islam, like I mentioned all the time, is wasat between these two. So no, O Yahud, you're wrong. Prophet Isa is actually a prophet. And no, you're wrong. Maryam is a saint, right? Tahara, she's a pure and tahir, right? And similarly, O Nasara, that the Yahud are right in saying that you're wrong in your the extreme beliefs regarding Isa alayhi salam, and etc., etc., etc. And the haqq is in the book if they were only to read it. وَهُمْ يَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابِ. Then Allah says, كَذَلِكَ قَالَ الَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ مِثْلَ قُولِهِمْ. And just like that, those who don't know said the same thing that they said. مَنْ هُمُ الَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Who are those that don't know? Right? Those that Allah is referring to, الَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. So Allah mentions three groups here. Al-Yahud, we know who they are. Al-Nasara, we know who they are. And then الَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ, those who do not know. Ulama, they say, there is khilaf in this, but they say this is referring to Quraysh and the idolaters. Why? Because they are often called the Ummiyin, the illiterate, right? And those who did not have previous scriptures. So they also said similar things that the Yahud and the Nasara are claiming. So they claim that they are right. They claim that their way is the right. They denounced and the validity of other faith as well. So similar things. And Allah said, so who's right? Is it the Nasara? Is it the Yahud? Is it the Mushrikeen? What does Allah say? فَاللَّهُ يَحْكُمُ بَيْنَهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فِي مَا كَانُوا فِي يَخْتَلِفُونَ. But Allah will judge between them on the day of resurrection concerning that which they used to differ over. So Allah is the Hakam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge between them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us the haq, and we just mentioned the one that is upon the truth is مَنْ أَسْلَمَ وَجَّهَهُ لِلَّهِ هُوَ مُحْسِنٌ فَلَهُ أَجْرُهُ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. The following verses we'll start discussing about. We're coming closer to the ayat. By the way, I mentioned in one of my earlier lessons, I mentioned that the way Surah Al-Baqarah is structured is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us many stories in the beginning, right? And this is for you to learn lessons from them. And then there are many, many ahkam later on, right? So as we go along as the surah, it will go from being a story, a surah that tells you about the people of the past, to a surah that is teaching you about the rulings, starting with the qibla change, the prayer, related to charity, then related to marriage and divorce and hajj and all of that. Why is it structured this way? It's almost preparing you. Be first in the right mentality for you to adopt these laws. So here are examples of people that didn't follow these laws, and look at what they've done. So after Allah teaches us how not to be, and tells us how to be, so because right after they finish the qissa of the Yahud, Allah will tell us about Ibrahim and Ismail. So first Allah tells you, okay, don't be like these. Then Allah tells you, be like Ibrahim, be a Muslim, be a someone that submits, and then the ahkam starts. Right, ahkam al-salah, wa ahkam al-sadaqa, wa zakati, wa al-talaqi, wa al-nikah, and all of these. So it's a very beautiful, it's structured. So if you're eager to learn more about the ayahs as it relates to the fiqh rulings, they're coming, inshallah ta'ala. Barakallahu feekum, I'm going to conclude here. If there are questions, feel free. If not, then we'll conclude. Hada wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen.